Hello, everybody, and welcome in to the Apples and Junos Fantasy Hockey Podcast. My name is Nate Grunniblink, and I will be your host. And of course, I have your friend and mine, Blake Creamer, with me. Blake, how are we feeling tonight?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm feeling a lot better after that intro. Oh, my God. You got honey in your voice tonight, Nate. I don't know what's happening, but I want some more. You know what I'm saying? And also, yeah, it's just nice to be back because, you know, I think I've had a little separation anxiety. You know, my wife told me last night, I just woke up in the middle of the night and just said, Nate, like that. Just yelled, Nate, and like, and I was sweating and I don't know. Yeah, I don't even remember what was going on, but, you know, this is probably good for me. So, you know, I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. We have a comment from before the stream even started from Jackson. Let's get to biz. All right.
We're getting to biz. We do that. All right.
We do that around here.
There you go.
Well, as always, we're going to get into some players who've been performing well and some who've been performing poorly, try to make sense of their performance thus far. But first, as always, we are going to play a little two truths and a lie. And I think you're up, Blake. I think it's your
turn to
serve here.
You know I'm up. All right, come on. All right.
Let me have it.
Okay, buddy. I think it's 3-2 for me. We're running out of time. So, you know, this is big for you. This is a big one for you. All right, you got to get going here. All right, this is Two Truths and a Lie, Power Play Edition. All right. You know, and I did all the stats on Natural Stat Trick, and I did a 60 minute time on ice minimum. So, okay. if you know, just extrapolate that. Nate's doing the math in his head right now. So, you know, okay. Two truths and a lie, power play edition. Let's go. Number one, Nate's favorite, Arthur Kaliev, has a lower individual Corsi 4 per 60 than Patrick Laine.
Right. Okay.
That's number one. All right, number two, Tage Thompson has a higher shots on goal per 60 than Austin Matthews. Okay, think about that. And then number three, our boy, friend of the show, Vincent Trocheck has a higher individual scoring chances for per 60 than Connor McDavid. What do you have to say for yourself?
All right, well, I can't believe for a second that you would sully the good name of Vincent Trocheck by having him lower than anyone, even Connor McDavid, on this podcast. So that one clearly has to be true. If that's the case, then I think you have to renounce him as your father. I'm pretty sure that's how that works.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Illegitimate, but yeah, that's allegedly.
So that leaves the other two for me that I'm going to work from. Arthur Kaliev, a lower individual Corsi 4 per 60 than Patrick Laine. Either of those could be true. I could see that going either way. Kaliev on the power play has been pretty efficient, actually, so he could have a lower individual Corsi 4. Laine likes to bomb away a fair bit. Thompson having a higher shots on goal per 60 than Austin Matthews on the power play. He's definitely the big-time shooter on the Buffalo power play, so I could believe that one. I could believe all three of these, but I think I'm going to go with number one as the lie.
Number one, you sure? It's final answer?
Final answer.
All right. Dang it, buddy. Ah, come on. I thought I'd get you with this. I tried to, you know, keep it in your wheelhouse. You're correct, by the way, Nate. All right. Arthur Kaliev has a lower individual Corsi 4. He has a higher individual Corsi 4 per 60 than Patrick Laine. Yeah. So, you know, we can see why you like Kelly. This guy's a beauty. Just going through his stats, like, you know, everything you like to look at, he's killing at. Yet he has like probably 15 goals this year, some stupid like that. So, yeah. You know what? I didn't even think about Vincent Trocheck. I totally messed myself up there. I didn't go that way. But yeah, of course, I'm not gonna, you know, sully that man's name. So, but yeah, it's interesting stuff. What did I want to say? Yeah, Vincent Trocheck, he's actually third overall individual scoring chances per 60 on the power play. Third! That's pretty good.
Yeah,
I just got to shout out my man, Vinny Tro.
Absolutely.
Yeah, see
that's been a really good role for him this year. And unfortunately, he hasn't always converted, and the efficiency hasn't quite been there, but definitely the underlying stats have always been there.
There you go. So, all right, we're 3-3. That's game seven right now. I think this makes sense. You know, I mean, this has to happen.
It does make sense. All right. We've got lots of comments coming in. Jackson says, Vinny Tro, absolutely. We've got Toronto Dave in here. He says, Nate is hashtag too good. You better believe it.
All right, come on, Toronto Dave. Don't do me like that, all right? It's 3-3, all right? Come on.
Let's keep going here with a couple more of these comments. We got some questions already rolling in. So we've got Casual Bowl of Ramen, who's asking, where do you value Val Nichushkin, value Val, in next value year's Val. Draft, no keepers? So, yeah, if you could put a round on it, let's say no specificity here, so we could say points or bangers, but what are you thinking in general, Blake? General thoughts on Val Nichushkin. I can give you his stats here. 15 goals, 42 points in 43 games this year. Obviously, he's dealt with injury a fair bit, but has definitely kind of established himself as one of the top, I guess, top alternate weapons behind kind of their big three of Makar, MacKinnon, and Rantanen. So thoughts on Nichushkin here and how you'd value him going into next year.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Colorado's top six in general, I mean, besides the big boys, is going to be interesting because Gabriel Landeskog was out all year. So Val Nichushkin is, he's obviously had a great year and he's put up some points, but it's not an accurate data point for me. So I do like the player a lot and I like him in that top six, and Lekkonen's, you know, he's going to be in there as well, but they got a lot of guys that can do stuff that need minutes, right? Mm. So I think Nichushkin, Lekkonen, you know, even Erod, maybe they're comfort. These are all guys that are going to eat minutes. So, I don't know. It's hard to say. He's a beauty player. I think his ceiling is very high, but he's going to need the deployment to do that. Where would I draft him? I don't know. Top 100 for sure. 90, 80. I don't know. What do you think, Nate?
Yeah, I think he's definitely a guy who thrives on volume. So this year he's gotten 20 minutes per night. So he's obviously gotten the deployment this year. He's never been a super high efficiency player. So he is kind of a guy who needs that volume and obviously the exposure to the main stars in Colorado to really get there. But yeah, last year, 52 points in 62 games. This year, 42 points, 43 games. I think it's fair to put him at something like a 70-point pace and just assume that, yeah, there will probably be some times throughout the year where he comes off the top power play and you're kind of bemoaning that fact. But overall, throughout the course of the year, I think probably around a 70-point pace is where I'd put Nichushkin. And, you know, even for bangers, he has 44 hits in those 43 games this year, so it's not like he's a minus in that category either. He'll do a few extra things for you as well. Good shot totals, almost three per game this year. So I don't really see him taking a huge step back, maybe not 20 minutes, but maybe back down to like the 19 minutes he was at the year before. Once Landeskog's back and Lekkonen healthy, everybody healthy once again. So 70 points, I think, is a pretty reasonable expectation in my estimation. And, you know, like, he's doing all this. Last year, 13.9 shooting percentage, this year 12.2. if he ever goes on a shooting percentage bender, he could even eclipse that, right? So there is some upside beyond that if he, you know, has a really hot year, I guess you could say. So that would be my general take on Nichushkin. Where that puts him in terms of rounds, I think that's probably like around six player, I'd guess, in a lot of leagues next year, somewhere in that range anyway. Past your top few rounds, but definitely in the middle rounds for me.
I think he might get overdrafted next year. I mean, just because of, yeah, he ended up, you know, obviously played well in the playoffs last year, and that kind of got him drafted this year, and then the injury, but coming back and playing as well as he is now, you know, he could be a little bit overdrafted. I don't know if I'd take Nichushkin in the sixth round. I don't know if I like that. I think there's some other options there, some more upside plays. Cause I think, yeah, like you said, I think this is kind of the player he is, but we don't know, because what is he when Landeskog gets on the lineup there? So my two cents.
Definitely. Another comment here from Jackson. How do you feel about Nick Suzuki for the finals week starting tomorrow? Definitely. Suzuki has been hot of late. He's got four straight multi-point games in a row here. Definitely the game against Columbus went off for 4 points. The shots on goal have kind of been there and kind of not. One shot, four shots, three shots. So better of late, but definitely kind of doing that Nick Suzuki thing where he flashes a couple games and then goes away for a couple games, but he got assists in those games where he's only taken the one shot. So that's a little bit of the difference there. Yeah, he was really hot early. He got snake bitten for a while. Now it seems like he's hot again. I'm honestly, my take is I'm happy to roster anybody who's hot at this point in the year. He's still going to get like those 22 minutes a night. Like, he's one of the most utilized forwards across the league. So in a moment where he's hot, if he got dropped, and Montreal, I believe, has four games this week. Yeah, they got four games and they got a back-to-back to start the week against Buffalo and Philadelphia. So for me, that's an easy pickup, at least for a couple games. You see how those first two games, Monday, Tuesday, go, and then you make your decision from there. But definitely someone I'd pick up if he got dropped.
Yeah, I don't have too much more to add on that. Yeah, I think he's a great add for the start of the week. You know, three games and four nights if you can fit him in. I think he is center only on Yahoo, so that's kind of stinky, like on those heavier nights. But the Tuesday's a 10 game, so you might be able to fit him in there. I like Nick Suzuki. We talked about it, but I think you were bang on even back when you were kind of, you know, Nate likes to talk a lot of Yang on Nick Suzuki. Just, you know what I mean? And it's some of it's, I think it's pretty warranted. Like, he just kind of identified the type of player that Nick Suzuki is. And it's probably what's happening now. So he was hot earlier because Cole Caufield was there and then Caufield was injured. But I like to see it. I like to see what's going on here. And how about our guy, your guy, Matheson? All right. The professor. Oh my goodness. This guy's flying right now. Yeah, that guy's a great pickup too for the beginning of this week and might be a hold for the week just the way he's playing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, we got the follow-up comment here. He can fit him in for the Monday, Tuesday. So definitely, well, I think you're all set. Go ahead and make that play. And yeah, I just want to, I guess, make a broader point about Suzuki. So this is someone, obviously, as Blake's saying, that I've been kind of crapping on all year, but, in a situation like this, like, the overall stats were leading me to say that I didn't believe in him to continue the pace. And obviously that eventually became correct, probably later than I thought it was going to be, but eventually became correct. But now that he's hot again, like, when you're talking about a 1 week scenario, you're talking about a back-to-back for the next couple of days, like, that's a place to go out and grab somebody who's really feeling it right now and who's hot, and the team is hot. The team's feeling good. They're going up against light opponents who can let in a bunch of goals. Like, everything is just arrows up at this moment. And when you're in the playoffs, like, it's about the moment, right? It's not about projecting what Suzuki would do if he played the next 20 games, because there aren't 20 games to play. So, yeah, just kind of a point, I guess, about, because I was off of Suzuki as a player for so long doesn't mean that I've completely thrown him out and I'm never going to roster him again and I've got some personal vendetta against him. It's really just about what I'm thinking about for the rest of the season when we were talking about him before, and now that we're in this different situation, my take becomes different, right? So I think that's pretty important, and an important distinction to make for yourself in these playoffs.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. Yeah, I don't have too much more to add on that. I think that's a really good point.
One more quickly here, and we got to get into it again from Casual Bowl of Ramen. What's your take on Kuzmenko next year, especially in a bangers league? Goals, assists, shots on goal, hits, blocks, shorthanded goals, and power play goals. I'll throw this one to you, Blake, since you're the one watching the man.
Big Koozie! Oh, you know, I'm a little bit sick right now, so I'm a little bit subdued. I don't know if you can tell, but I still got energy to go. Big Koozie! Oh, I love this man. Yeah. I think I've talked about this before on the podcast here. I do think there's something to teams that are sort of out of the playoff picture, sort of just playing a little bit lighter, playing looser, having fun. And obviously the Canucks got, you know, Rick Tocchet in there. And yeah, things are going well right now. Big Koozie. Thank you, my man. yeah, I like him next year. I think he's good, probably good for 70 points. You know, I think that's very reasonable. He's proven himself to be very valuable, and he's coming through in the home stretch here. The guy's got 35 goals. What the hell? He got another two assists tonight. He plays well with Pedersen, you know, another year, you know, in Canada, getting comfortable with the language and the city. And I think he could really pop off. This guy's, his attitude is a lot different than a lot of newer players that I've seen. Like, this guy's unflappable. He doesn't care. He's just out there having fun. And he was here for the crap times with the Canucks too. So he's come through that. No problem. This guy's still got a smile on his face, a beautiful head of hair. And yeah, I mean, I think you got to roster him in bangers, cats, like, you know, hits and blocks. He's not going to do that. Right. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt, but this guy's a points league player. He's going to be a good goal scorer. No question. Book it.
Absolutely. Yeah, not too much to add. Obviously, there are some red flags here. 26.7% shooting percentage. Oh, that's not going to continue next year. 14% on ice shooting percentage is probably a little hot as well. But as soon as the personal shooting percentage comes down, the on ice will as well. So I don't think there's anything unsustainable about the team overall so much as there is just his personal shooting percentage. But yeah, I'd probably be a little less bullish on the 70 point pace, but I do definitely think that,
oh my God,
like 60 to 65 is well within the cards. Yeah. And then if he does take another step, like we're talking about a guy, it's only his first year over here, right? And he's, as you mentioned, it's been an up and down season. So definitely I'm not discounting the possibility that he could take another step next year. So yeah, I think he has probably has point per game upside from 60 to 65 as my probable median projection, I would say, just looking at the numbers here. So in that case, you might, you know, draft somebody a little higher than you would any normal 60 to 65 point player. Like, you're going to draft him higher than Logan Couture, right? Because you know what Couture is going to give you is 60 to 65 points, but there's no upside there. With Kuzmenko, there's upside that he takes another step in year two, and now he's a point per game player. So I think that's my quick take on Kuzmenko. We got to get into this. Blake, are you ready? Performing well?
I'm very ready. Yeah. Let's get to this.
All right. Let's get to biz. Number one, we got to talk about Philadelphia just randomly having a bunch of guys that are scoring all of a sudden. Tyson Forster, Joel Farabee, Owen Tippett, all these guys over a point per game as of late. The team has been playing kind of, maybe to your point, playing kind of loose. They got nothing to lose. What's your take on any of these guys? Is there one that sticks out to you from that trio who's been performing particularly well here for fantasy? Anybody that you'd be interested in this week? So Philadelphia this week has all heavy nights, but they do play four games. They do play some teams known to give up some goals. Canadiens, Senators, Sabres are their first three games this week. So any takes for us on this trio here from Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think this goes back to your point of like, you know, we're not talking about season long. We're talking about right now. And I looked at a lot of the players on the show sheet here that we're going to talk about. And these are all, they're almost all players from like these garbage teams, or they're like third liners that are just getting hot, you know, right now. And these are the type of players we need to know about. These are the type of players we need to talk about, because all the rest of the guys are rostered, right? So you might be able to pick these guys up. Like, who's this first guy? Tyson Forster? What the, you know, the guy's played eight games in the NHL. He's a first round draft pick. You know, I don't have a real read on this guy, but you know, I like the production, and I do think Philadelphia's playing loose. They don't have anything to play for, so they're just, you know, tinkering and working it out. Of those three guys, I think I like Owen Tippett the best. I think that his deployment is through the roof. He had a game the other night where he played like 27 minutes. Like, what? Torts is just, he's just lost his mind. He's gone off the deep end, and you know, and we're here for it. Guys like Tony D'Angelo and you know, Owen Tippett are getting the benefit here, right? So but I do think these guys, they can all be potentially rosterable, right? But you have to kind of keep your finger on the pulse, and that's what I think a lot of these players that we're going to talk about today are. But yeah, I think of those three, I'd go Tippett, Farabee, and then Forster, right? Because Forster's just, we don't have very much data on that guy at all. He's had a nice eight games, but Tippett's getting the deployment. He's getting line one, power play one, all this crazy stuff. He's playing shorthanded a ton too, so they're just riding him, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, Tippett's definitely the guy there for me. I don't think that'll be a surprise to anybody who's really been paying attention the last little bit. Tippett's been getting monster minutes, like only one game in his last 10 that's under 18 minutes.
It's so crazy.
Definitely. And as you mentioned, one 27-minute game as well. I assume that was an overtime, but regardless, that's just monster numbers. And yeah, the underlying stats are terrific for Tippett. Over 10 shots per 60, which is a metric I always talk about, nearly 10 individual scoring chances for per 60. And keep in mind, like, this is a guy playing in Philadelphia right now. He's playing with Farabee and Noah Cates, and he's still doing it. Like,
yeah,
it's really, really impressive stuff that we're getting out of Owen Tippett. It is a guy that I liked in the past, got kind of buried in Florida and had kind of a decline last year in Florida before getting traded to Philadelphia and kind of ticking back up again in terms of the underlying stats. So it's a guy I'm really excited about. I hope that next year, I don't know if Torts is going to be back the way the season has gone or what's going to happen there, but I really hope next season we get to see more of the same, where they kind of run Tippett out for a lot of this and use him as that trigger man. And see what he can do and hopefully get some talent around him, because I do think that Tippett is a guy that could be a big time player for fantasy. And I feel like a lot of sharp people are going to be on him next year. So if in your sharper leagues, he's probably going to go a little earlier and go where he should be valued. But I think that definitely in some of your more casual leagues, Tippett is going to be a guy that slides to double digit rounds and you're going to pick him up and hold him all year. So that's definitely a guy I'm into, and big time bangers value there as well with Tippett. So definitely an overall player. Casual Bo Ramen says, I'm just worried that his value will plummet once Konechny gets back. I'm not too worried about that, to be honest. I think there's room for both, especially on the power play. They'll play off each other. Overall, I think that's a wash at worst, in my opinion. Not too worried about Konechny taking away from Tippett or vice versa.
They might be prioritizing this guy a little bit. Sorry, buddy. I was just going to say they might be prioritizing Owen Tippett a little bit. So I think, he might be in the plans there, especially if Torts comes back. So anyways, let's carry on.
Absolutely. Another guy who shoots a ton is Victor Arvidsson, getting rewarded for it lately. And this is a guy that I've always, like, he's always going to show up in the metrics I look for, right? He's always going to be up there with the shots per 60. He's always going to be up there in the individual scoring chances for. He just always kind of fits that mold. And so it's always a guy that I'm going to have on a lot of rosters. And just a guy that I'm always going to be talking about, always going to have his name in my mouth. But I mean, I got to count up these games here because this is ridiculous. He's got 11 games in a row with three shots or more.
Love it.
It's just incredibly impressive stuff. The last couple games here, both multi-point games, really showing out at the right time for fantasy managers. Quick take on Arvidsson here, and what do you think? We've got Fiala coming back into the game later on here tonight, here on Sunday night. Do you think that Arvidsson gets moved around? Do you think that affects this little hot streak that he's working on here?
Potentially. I don't know. Tonight's a good game to watch and see, right? Because Fiala will be back. He's coming back off injury. So, but I mean, that's not going to affect his line. You know, Fiala plays down. They put him down on the quote unquote third line in LA there. Arvidsson will play on the second power play, but like you said, the shots, oh my God, like this is exactly what you want to see. And this guy's cooking right now. I like LA a lot. Actually, they're really flying right now. And they run three good lines. Like they can all do some damage. And right now Arvidsson's kind of the beneficiary of that, but with the advanced stats that are ongoing, and then you even look at his time on ice, which is something I always look at. Like he's got a couple games over 20 minutes here. Like this guy's, pick him up. Four games next week. Like if you can fit in Arvidsson, I think he's left wing, right wing eligible. Like this is a guy you can move around your lineup. I picked him up last week and I benched him for his two goal game, which really pissed me off. But he's a great player and he's trending upwards. So I think he's an ad for sure.
Definitely. Let's keep rolling. Talk about another of these kind of third line power play two guys that you mentioned in Sammy Blais. Really impressive stuff as of late. Last game, he put up a goal and an assist. Game before that, goal. Game before that, an assist. Had no points game before that, but then two goals the game before that. So last little bit here, he's really been turning it on. He's always been a big time hitter, so he's always providing that for you, especially in Cats leagues. But just providing a lot more category coverage, I guess, with the goals and assists as of late than we really thought possible with a guy like this. So quick take on Sammy Blais, and maybe we know that he's going to be viable in Bangers Cats, but maybe do we think about this guy now in points for the upcoming week here?
I'm listening to you talk about him. Yeah, he's a streaky player. Right now he's doing well. But Bangers Cats, sure, I'm taking a ride here. But I honestly feel like there's better guys out there than Sammy Blais. I think, like in a pinch, you need some hits. Like this is a guy that can do some damage. His ice time isn't super inspiring to me. You know, he can play 13 to 16 minutes kind of around there, but it can go even lower than that, right? And I just think they're kind of featuring a few other guys on St. Louis right now. But it's just... Yeah, it's just meh to me. I'm happy this guy's, you know, 4 points in his last three games. That's nice. But I mean, he could just as well go, you know, the next four games without getting anything. So, and they're three games all on the busy nights. And then they play on the Sunday, I think. Yeah, I'm just looking at it here. So, yeah, I don't think he has a good schedule to do it. Like, and Sunday has nine games. So it's not exactly a.
Oh, I think I lost Blake. All right. We'll keep trucking along. Yeah, Sammy Blade to me, definitely not someone I'm super excited about. Has had a nice little stretch here, but definitely all the earmarks of unsustainability are there. The last five games, 44% shooting percentage, 100% IPP, only getting 15 minutes a night, and seven shots per 60. So, yeah, I just think there's going to be more guys that have more upside for this week, and definitely the schedule is nothing to write home about, as Blake was saying. So let's get into this question here from Jackson. Pick two for next week finals. Should I add Bouchard, Suzuki, McCann, Big Boone, Jenner, or Arvidsson? Nate's guy, multi-cats league shots are important, and so are bangs. Blake, are you back?
I am back. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I don't know what happened there.
I don't know, but you know, I had to take a little break, and now I feel better. That's fine. Right. Oh God, you got go first. I gotta think about this. Yeah.
All right, I'll go first. Yeah. So shots being important, definitely Arvidsson is in the mix. McCann has been hot, had another big game again. Suzuki obviously super hot. I think Suzuki is one that I would go here just for the first two games at least. If it's a week long, then maybe that changes my answer away from Suzuki. But if you do have the option to move off of him after the first two games here, then get Suzuki in for the Monday, Tuesday, and then reevaluate, and you can go to one of the other guys if you need to. Then, yeah, I guess my take might change a little bit just depending on what you think you need versus your opponent. If you can look at your opponent and say, you know, I need to add to hits, I need to add to blocks, I need to add to shots, I need to add to just points. Just for overall points, I think I'd go with McCann. For shots on goal, Arvidsson is the clear guy who's going to get the most shots, in my opinion. For all-around category coverage, it's got to be Boone Jenner. So I think you've got the right mix of guys here, but I think you just really got to critically evaluate where you think you need to add to your team in order to take your opponent down. So I think Suzuki, just for that Monday, Tuesday back-to-back to open the week, it's just so clutch. Definitely do that. And then for the other two, more of a week-long approach, just think about what you need from that spot in order to defeat your opponent, and that'd be my answer. Maybe that's a little bit of a cop-out, but that'd be my answer.
No, it's good. You know what? It's so interesting with playoffs. Like, you know, when I'm talking during the year about streams, I always think about, oh, pick this guy up and hold him for the week. You know, like you said, week-long streams, and the playoffs just are not like that. It's, you kind of want to just be fluid. And, you know, I love that back-to-back at the beginning, especially if you can get those players in. And I don't like doing more than two moves at the beginning of the week. I think that's kind of where you should cap out, except for every league that I was in, I would do three because I was always behind, and, you know, but I don't know what the hell was going on. But yeah, so I like two moves at the beginning. So, I mean, I would definitely pick up either Bouchard or Suzuki for that back-to-back, depending on where you can, you know, where you can fit a player in. And then, you know, if you have, this is something I talked about a little bit, is if you have guys like any Arizona players from last week, right? Or Colorado players, you know, Arizona plays on Monday and then they don't play again until Friday. So You hold your Arizona guy. So I would maybe pick up one of those guys. So maybe let's say Suzuki, and then you drop an Arizona guy after Monday's game and you pick up a guy like Boone Jenner, or you pick up a guy like Arvidsson. Right. So that's kind of two moves that sort of starts your week off good, because there are also a lot of good teams or teams that have really good schedules towards the end of the week. You can get a lot of teams that have three games and four nights. So there's a lot of options this week. It's not like last week where it was literally two teams you could stream from. Right. So that's sort of the way I would do it. Probably just the one move, get the back to back, and then drop one of your, if you have any Arizona players. I would think you would, if you know you're this far, you probably have some Arizona or Colorado. Yeah. Right. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good take. Yeah, another guy from Montreal is up next on our docket. That's Mike Hoffman, who's been line one, power play one, And kind of producing. It's not something we ever feel too confident about with a guy like Mike Hoffman these days, but 10 shots per 60 his last five. So that's something that raises my eyebrows a little bit. And definitely the production's been there, averaging 15-35 through these five games. Thoughts, Blake? Obviously, we got the Monday, Tuesday, so there's that going for him. But are you interested in Hoffman, or are you thinking he's going to burn us again?
I think he's in that same wheelhouse as Suzuki. I mean, obviously I would prioritize Suzuki and Matheson and maybe even, Harvey Pinard over this guy, I think from Montreal. But you know, if you miss out and you want to get a player in for the back-to-back, I think Hoffman's totally viable, right? He's, like you said, he's hot right now. You know, his deployment's not great. Keep in mind, like, his points, he's got 5 points in the last five games. That's a 3-point game and a 2-point game, right? And the other ones were donuts, right? So, I mean, I would look, that's why he's lower on the pecking order to me, but I think he's definitely viable. If you want to get someone in for the back-to-back, it makes a lot of sense. I think he's better than a lot of streamers that you can get on Edmonton, like if you were going to try and go that way. So I don't know. Yeah. I like him over guys like Kyler Yamamoto. I would rather take maybe a run at Mike Hoffman here and see what sticks.
Yeah, not too much to add to that. Definitely Hoffman is one of these guys who goes hot and goes cold, seemingly game to game. So it's definitely a swing, but it's a swing that, you know, I'd be willing to take for back-to-back here. Then you have a compressed schedule. You're not like sitting there with them on your roster wondering what you're going to do with them. You're playing them these first two games. If he's still hot after two games, then you keep going, right? So don't think it's the worst play, especially in deeper leagues. I would take him over Harvey Pinard personally. Harvey Pinard's advanced stats are not nearly as good. So that's just my personal take on the two wingers there on the Suzuki line.
But you don't like hat tricks, Nate? What? Come on, what are you doing?
I like hat tricks fine, but that one's in the past, and unfortunately, right, okay. I don't right, think I he's going to do it again. So, yeah, definitely that's the route I would go. Another guy with a great early week schedule that I want to talk about for a second is Zach Parise.
Right.
And Parise has been doing pretty well as of late himself. Kind of a weird situation on the island where they're kind of splitting up their lines a little bit evenly, and it's just not a spot you feel ever really comfortable with any player. I feel like even when I've looked at them, every time they've had a good schedule, I've looked at the team and been like, I don't know. Who am I going with here? Parise is definitely the hottest guy on the team in terms of point production lately. 15 minutes average time on ice. Thoughts on Parise? He does have the Monday, Wednesday open to the week, avoids the Tuesday heavy night. So how's that going for him? Are you interested at all in Parise?
Sure. Yeah, I think the Islanders in general probably have the best like week-long schedule, in my opinion, because they've got the Monday, Wednesday. Then they also have the Sunday, which I consider it a light night. It's nine games. I mean, you know, it's a very heavy light night, right? But you know, so they honestly have four games with three off nights, in my opinion. So you can get this guy in, but I don't know. I think for Parise, he has a pretty short leash. It's like you get him in Monday, Wednesday, and then, you know, if you're giving me nothing, like, see you later. Get the hell out of my life. All right. But yeah, I mean, this guy has offensive acumen. I couldn't believe he's 38. Zach Parise, yeah. I you know, I remember when he started his career. So that's how old I am. I think this is a prime example of one of those players like you take a swing at because he's going right now, and you know, not really, you know, there's a lot of guys on the Islanders that aren't. So I like Parise. I think the Islanders have a good schedule this week, and you know, he gives you some flexibility, right? You can drop him after Wednesday or you can hold him.
Definitely fits into that mold. And yeah, it's a tough week for streaming overall. There's no one team with a terrific streaming schedule to target, so it's kind of to your advantage, in my opinion, to kind of think about the week in two blocks and get early week streaming options and late week streaming options, kind of split it up that way. So Parise, definitely a guy who fits into the early week kind of mold, and definitely does have the potential to stay in your lineup all week if you can get him in for the Sunday. Definitely if he performs Monday, Wednesday, you can think about keeping him around for the rest of the week.
There you go.
Yeah, Jackson adds here, just going back to our previous conversation about the pick two. So he's thinking of adding two for the first two games, Suzuki for sure, and then maybe Bouchard. Has multiple Arizona and Avalanche players to drop after Monday. Probably need everything, shots, hits, blocks. So yeah, I think definitely you're looking down the right path there, Suzuki, Bouchard. Don't hate that at all. And then, yeah, you can get into a Jenner, McCann, or Arvidsson later on. Jenner, as I mentioned, somebody who's going to cover the most categories for you there. So I know Blake will sign off on a Boone Jenner recommendation, so I think that's going to be our guy here.
BJ is A-OK, all right? That's my motto. That's my life motto.
All right. On that note, I think we'd better keep rolling.
All right. Let's go. Yeah, actually. All right. Now you're taking it. All right. Let's just move on.
Before we get into players performing poorly, I do need to remind you, you got to check out the Apples and Geos Discord server. We have a growing community there, over 600 fantasy managers in there. Everybody's talking all the time right now. It's obviously fantasy playoffs. Everybody's wondering what to do, trying to address the hive mind and get everybody's opinions on their moves. It's a great place to be in and to ask for help. So don't hesitate. Get in there. Link is in the show description. If you need help with waiver wire pickups, definitely think you should take a look at our Patreon. We've got obviously one more week for a lot of people. If you're using Yahoo standard matchups, you got one more big week coming up, week 25, and I will be issuing a big waiver wire article for that with a little side of a podcast for you. So yeah, definitely get into that. We're rapidly approaching the summer, and in the summer I take it down to $1 a month, just kind of a nominal fee to keep you in the loop. And I do throw in early access to my projections that I'll start working on throughout the summer. There'll be a couple of little tidbit articles that only go out to Patreon members, so definitely worth keeping on for a buck a month throughout the summer as well. That link's in the show description too. Blake, are we ready for performing poorly?
I've never been more ready. All right, I've performed poorly so far, so let's just continue.
All right. So the first thing we got to talk about is a group of number one defensemen, guys who are considered to be absolute studs at the beginning of the year, who have kind of pooped in their big boy pants over the last little bit here. Chris Letang, Moritz Seider, Seth Jones, Aaron Ekblad. Of these four, only Seth Jones has a single point in their last five games. So suffice it to say, all of them are doing terribly for your fantasy teams as of late, and it's go time, right? Like, this is what we talk about. It's no time to be holding on to someone that you're hoping is going to score points for you. So maybe let's play a little who would you rather and say who's the guy that you're least worried about and who's the guy you're most worried about from this group of four.
All right. Least worried about, I would say Chris Letang. I have Letang in a couple leagues, and I mean, they're category leagues, but this guy is a machine. And he's coming off a really hot streak, like where he was just killing it. So, again, I always, as you know, Nate, I always temper expectations with defensemen. I don't expect them to score at a point per game. It's just not, it's not reasonable to expect the defenseman to do that. But you know, I want to see, these four in particular should be first pairing power play one, right? So with that said, like, a guy that's worrying me quite a bit is Aaron Ekblad, because he's been moved off power one there for a while now, and Brandon Montour is doing that. And yeah, it's weird. Ekblad's sort of fitting into this mold with the Florida players, that they kind of have this amazing season, and then it's just kind of fallen off a cliff. It's like that's so far in the rearview mirror, like you can't even remember it, you know? So Ekblad is one I'm worried about for sure. That said, I mean, you'll probably be able to draft Ekblad at very good value next year, because I think he's underachieving this year. This isn't the player that he is. I think it's, you know, somewhere in between, probably closer to what he did last year. But the other two guys, Seth Jones is going to be a drop for this week coming up, in my opinion, unless you really, you know, unless like you have him and you don't need to drop him, because he'll do some stuff, right? You know, we got an assist tonight. He'll hit, he'll block, and he'll get a ton of minutes. And then Mo Seider, this guy just, you know, he's pissing people off because he won the Calder last year with a great season. And yeah, he's having a decent season, you know, but it's not to the level that he showed us last year, right? This is a second year player, but we all know He bangs. All right. He bangs like a, you know, what, something that bangs. I don't know. Oh, there you go. Yeah. See, we'll never talk bad about Most Cider. What we'll do is we'll go to the old mill and we'll get some cider. All right. Then we'll talk about Most Cider in a positive light. All right. That's what we do. But I would say Crystal Tang, good to go. Aaron Ekblad, get the hell out of my sight. Seth Jones, see you later. Most Cider, you got to keep definitely in Cats leagues, but he could be dropped in points leagues. Easy.
Yep. Yeah, we had the coming in from Jackson. Don't talk bad about my guy, Most Cider. He bangs. He definitely does that. Can't take that away from Most Cider. And actually, with Cider, the shots for 60 has crept up a little bit. That's been one of my complaints with him throughout the year. But the last five games here ranks 22nd in shots for 60 while averaging 24.5 minutes per night. So it seems like he's at least turning that part of his game around, but obviously still plays for Detroit, which is a problem for fantasy production. Overall, I agree. Those would be Letang would be my guy. I'm not worried about whatsoever. 11th amongst defensemen in shots for 60 over the last little bit. Third in Corsi, 4 per 60. Second in scoring chances, 4 per 60. Like, this is, it's just an anomaly. He's playing over 27, almost 28 minutes a night these last five games. Mm-hmm. They're playing the heck out of him. The guy's just a freak. At his age, to be doing what he's doing is really impressive, and it's just variance, in my opinion. This short stretch of 0 points, it's just variance. I would be shocked if he doesn't perform just quite perfectly for you next week.
Yep.
I really have no concern about Letang whatsoever. Ekblad, definitely echo your concerns. And the reason I had been kind of still in on Ekblad before was the underlying stats had stayed like pretty consistent with what they were last year and even actually improved a little bit. So I was like, oh, he's going to turn around. But now bounced off the top power play and still cold. And the overall time on ice is coming down now. And now his underlying stats have dipped too. So I think this is a guy who's just kind of down in the dumps, to be honest.
Yep.
Now the one thing about this is Florida does have the Monday, Wednesday start to the week with the off nights. It's really nice early start to the week. Does have four games on the week. So there might be guys on your team that you want to get rid of because you streamed like a last second stream on a Sunday and it was a terrible person for this week, but you had to have them for the Sunday to win your week. Like, I have Joseph Wohl, who I streamed for the game tonight against Nashville.
Got you the dub.
Me the dub there, but definitely a guy I'm not going to be hanging on to for next week, right? So that's a guy that I'm going to be dropping before I think about Aaron Ekblad. So definitely I think there's a scenario in which Ekblad can stay on your roster just because of his schedule this week, but if he's in question for you, if he's on that line and you have other guys who are hot right now and producing, then I have no qualms about dropping Ekblad currently. Most Cider and Seth Jones, I would drop either of these guys. I think Cider is playing better himself, but Detroit as a team is kind of now a bit of a dumpster fire. They're kind of packing it in for the season at this point. So it's kind of a little bit too little too late for me with Cider. So you probably, again, it's probably a similar situation with Ekblad where you don't have a better option. But if you do, then I wouldn't hesitate to drop Cider unless, you know, it's Bangers Cats, because he definitely does. He bangs. He definitely does.
He bangs.
So that's my take on those guys. Let's keep rolling. We got to talk about Blake Wheeler, who has been up and down and around, I guess, throughout the season here. But his last five games, 0 points. And the underlying stats are not too kind to him either. 121st in shots per 60 and 118th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. That's not going to get it done. So Blake Wheeler, obviously a little bit of an old man at this point, getting to the end of a season. Thoughts on Blake Wheeler, Blake Creamer?
Yeah, his name's Blake. he's just not an inspiring guy. Boy, the Jets, his line in particular, not going at all, right? He's with Scheifele and Ehlers. Oh, Nikolaj. It's... It's a rough time for sure, that line in particular. But one thing that I've loved Blake Wheeler in the past, because he plays in all situations, right? And he's just older now, and that doesn't, you know, they've got other guys to do that, right? So, you know, last three games, 15 minutes, 56 seconds, 16 minutes, 45, 15, 21. Like, he needs like 20. He used to play 20, right? And obviously he's 36 years old, but I just think, he's always been kind of a facilitator as well. He's not like a go out and get a bunch of goals kind of guy. So it's just rough if he's not facilitating or getting assists. Like, he's not doing anything else, right? He doesn't shoot. He's at like just under 2 shots per game for the season. That stinks. Like, yeah, he's, you know, it's just, it's uninspiring stuff. I think there's much better, way better guys out there than Blake Wheeler, unfortunately. And he only has 3 games this week as well. It's just, yeah, I think the writing's on the wall there for him.
Yeah, honestly, I don't have too much to add. Blake Wheeler's not someone I was interested in at cost pretty much anywhere throughout the season. Yeah. He went on waivers in a bunch of my leagues, and I kind of went straight past him. You know, I would have streamed him if he had a terrific schedule any given week. I would have done that, but pretty much no interest in Wheeler now that he's cold. It's yeah, off to the mines with you, buddy. Thanks for your service.
Thank you for your service.
I'll find somebody else. Thanks from here. I want to get into another group of defensemen here, but a group that's more widely available for pickups that some people will probably be looking at, who are also kind of cold this week. So they're probably names that people are thinking about because they're recognizable names, but they've been cold lately. So what do we do with this group? Cam Fowler, Owen Power, and Jake Sanderson, each with only 1 point in their last 5 games, each of them averaging, you know, over 23 minutes per night. Fowler and Sanderson on their respective top power plays. Power, obviously, in Buffalo with that high-powered offense. Thoughts on this trio? Maybe let's do the same exercise. Guy you're the most worried about, guy you're the least worried about.
All right. Worried about. I mean, I don't have very high expectations for any of these three guys. Let me see. I don't know. Owen Power, it would be maybe a guy I'm a little bit worried about if I was worried about any of them, just because he's just not doing much of anything. You know what I mean? And they've just got guys doing what, like, he is known to do, right? So he's kind of in the shadow there of Rasmus Dahlin, and they don't, you know, he's getting out there for good minutes, and, you know, I'm sure he's playing well, but it doesn't translate to fantasy. So Owen Power, I don't know, he's not a guy I'm interested in at all. And Buffalo has a weird schedule next week too, same as Arizona. So I mean, if you're rostering Owen Power, I would hold him for the Monday game and then probably kick him to the curb. Just say, see you later, right? Just get that free game out of him. But I don't see a reason to roster Owen Power this upcoming week. And then a guy I like, I'm not worried about, Jake Sanderson. I think he's not getting points right now, unfortunately, but I just like the player. I don't know. I've seen him, not live, but I've watched a lot of Senators games for some reason this year because I like my man Timmy Stutz. I want to see how he's doing. But Sanderson is a guy. I just like his game. He's really slick, and he's good peripherally too, to a degree. I think Jake Sanderson's sort of the upside play there for me. They have 4 games this week as well, I think, Ottawa. So, but they are sort of a back half team as well. I think, you know, you could probably leave him on the wire and maybe pick him up on Thursday or Friday for the Friday Sunday if you need some defenseman periffs. And then Cam Fowler, oh man, I feel like we talk about this guy all the time. He's great until I pick him up, and then he just stinks. I was saying this to someone the other day. Cam Fowler to me is like, you know, you're at a bar, you know, and it's late, right? They're closing up. They turn the lights on. You look around. You're wondering what you're going to do, and there's Cam Fowler, and you're like, hey, do you want to be on my team, man? And you'd be like, yeah, all right. Like, there's no other, you know, prospects here, right? And then that's Cam Fowler, right? That's how he. That's, you know, every time I pick him up, zeros across the board. So, you know, if you're going Anaheim, Fowler is a good option. But yeah, there's got to be better guys out there than that. Come on.
All right, so another reason to join the Apples and Geos Discord server is to find out if Blake did indeed pick up Cam Fowler.
Oh, I picked him up.
You can avoid him. Yeah. All right. You picked him up, so we'll avoid him for this week. Yeah. Thanks for the insight there. I don't disagree with really anything you're saying here. Owen Power, definitely a guy. It's really just been a case all year where you're like, man, this guy's getting a ton of minutes on a team that's scoring a ton of goals. Like, he should get some points at some point. But I think they're kind of just asking him to play defense. It's first year in the league, and they're not asking him to create too much. They're probably telling him to keep it simple and yeah, kind of just play within himself at this point. So Owen Power is definitely the guy I would be least interested in for this week. And Sanderson, yeah, Sanderson only has 4 shots in these 5 games, so he's not really putting the puck on net, which is kind of crazy considering that he's now been promoted to the top power play.
Right.
Which should be like a terrific spot in Ottawa. But even his underlying stats are not that great, like his team underlying stats. It's a really confusing spot for Sanderson. I do think, like, if you're looking, if you're an underdog and you need someone to go off this week, like Sanderson in Ottawa on that top power play has the most potential in my mind to go off for like 5 points this week in his 4 games. But if you need like an old steady, reliable,
old faithful, yeah.
Yeah. Then maybe you're looking at Cam Fowler for this week. They do have Ottawa and Anaheim have the exact same schedule this week. Yep. So, that's my 2 cents there. Matt Zuccarello is the guy we got to talk about next. And Zuccarello has kind of just completely withered away into nothingness. Like, I feel like Kirill Kaprizov was like the thing, you know, in like the fairy tales where like whatever the spell is lifted and the witch turns from the 25-year-old gorgeous woman into like the 300-year-old woman and like shrivels away into dust. I feel like that's what's happening with Zuccarello, and Kaprizov was just that that spell that was lifted.
He was the magic powder.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at with Zuccarello. I'm not too excited about him. Just 1 assist in his last 5. Still getting his 20 minutes a night. The underlying stats, not great. It's kind of just all been about Matt Boldy over there in Minnesota. Quick take on Matt Zuccarello, Blake.
Yeah, no, I like the way you put that. This is a guy I called for at the beginning of the year to be a bust. And yeah, he's been making me look like a dingus because he actually has been playing pretty good this year. Well, his pace is good. I mean, 64 points in 71 games. I expected less than that, honestly. So yeah, I like the deployment. I think obviously their second line is going in Minnesota right now. But yeah, you're right. Without Kaprizov, this guy, you know, he can't do it on his own, right? And when you were talking, I don't know, I was picturing like Kaprizov riding a motorcycle and then Zuccarello's in the sidecar. You know what I'm saying? And then, and then what happens
when the motorcycle drives off?
You just got a sidecar. Like what's, you know, and then what do you do? Like there's no engine. So you have to get on a grade and go down a hill. And then I don't know what happens after that, but you know, it's pretty high praise for Matty Zooks, the zucchini man. But yeah, I think you've got to hold really Minnesota this week. What's their schedule? I thought they had, they have a Monday, Wednesday. So, you know, if you're thinking about dropping Matty Zooks, probably drop him after Wednesday, right? Hold him for those 2 games and then say, get the hell out of my sight. All right.
Yeah, we got Big C in the chat here saying sick reference, bro. Thanks, Big C. Jackson says zucchini is actually the mother from Tangled, confirmed. Yeah, that's actually the one I was thinking of, I think. He's only using Kaprizov right? For his hair. To gain his scoring powers.
All right, we were onto something here. Yeah,
definitely onto something. So we got another guy that we got to come up with a similar reference for here. So I'll let you work on that, Blake, since I had the last one. I think it's only fair, you know. But Bo Horvat has been a major disappointment as of late. In his last 5 games, only 1 assist for him as well. Kind of almost the exact same story as Zuccarello. 20 minutes, still getting all the deployment in the world, but cannot score any points for us whatsoever. Everyone was saying it, right? Like shooting percentage was through the roof all season long. It had to come back to earth at some point. Coming back to earth is one thing and cratering through the earth and continuing onto the earth's core is another thing, which is what seems to be happening with Bo Horvat currently. What's your thoughts on Horvat? Obviously, we touched on it with Parise. The Islanders do have a great schedule this week, so it's pretty tough to move off a guy who has that potential that we saw earlier in the year and even early in his time with the Islanders. What's your take on Horvat for this week, and how are you playing it if you have him?
Yeah, I mean, you have to hold him, right? I think with this schedule, again, you know, the Monday, Wednesday, maybe if you're getting desperate, then after Wednesday, you can move on to somebody else, one of these teams with 3 games and 4 nights. But yeah, this made no sense. It lasted a lot longer than I thought it would, you know, because I was saying, sell high, sell high. I shouted from the rooftops, and I love this man, Bo Horvat. He's a beautiful human being, but, you know, it made no sense. Like, I've watched him for years. This is not the player he is. So, you know, congratulations to you, buddy. Contract year. The guy killed it, got his contract. Barzal gets injured. Now he's having a Coke and a smile. You know what I mean? He's just, he's not even, I don't know. Horvat's a beauty. He's getting a ton of minutes too. Damn, that's like, I mean, I love that. I love how many minutes this guy's getting. He's over 20 minutes every night. I'm surprised it's gone this cold. Like, it's just a season of extremes for him. So I think it's somewhere in the middle. But, I mean, yeah, that shooting percentage was – there's no way that was going to stick. But he's still shooting quite a bit. You got to hold him for the week, at least until Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, I'm not confident about it. But the underlying stats are not terrible. Like, 41st in shots per 60 through these five games. So, like, he's still putting shots on goal. It seems like he's – taking shots from anywhere, because the individual scoring chances 4 per 60 down at 170th, so might be firing some long range shots, just hoping to get lucky. But yeah, I think you gotta stick with him. I don't really see an option, like, unless you're just absolutely stacked and Horvat's actually at the bottom of your lineup, then sure, you could go ahead. But with the schedule this week, with what we know he's capable of, you just gotta hold on, I think, and pray that this is the week that he turns it around for the rest of the season. Yeah, unfortunately, it's a tough place to be, but I do think that's what you gotta do with a guy like this. If he had a terrible schedule this week, right? Like, if he didn't play till Thursday, then it would be no question. Like, I'd be dropping him. But just getting those free games played on the off nights to open the week, I can't get away from it. At least not this fast. Maybe after Wednesday, like you're saying, but definitely not until then. One more guy that I do want to talk about here is Samuel Girard from Colorado. Definitely a guy we've talked about and has performed pretty well in stretches. Obviously, one of the bigger stretches coming when Cale Makar went down with injury. Makar back now. Devon Taves heading up the second unit. We've also got Bo Byram in the mix there, but neither he or Girard currently on a power play unit. So that obviously limits some of their upside, but Girard's still getting 21.5 minutes through his last five games with just one assist in that time. What do we think about Girard? We've got a schedule here for Colorado where they open Monday, Wednesday. So that's obviously attractive if you're looking for a defenseman stream and you got a heavy Tuesday where you've maybe got all four defensemen playing already. You can fit in Girard for a Monday, Wednesday, and then think about what you're doing with him after that. Any takes on Girard? I think there's probably a lot of people out there who have him on their rosters right from this last week, and they're wondering what they should be doing with him here.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonder no longer. I think you got to hold this guy for Monday, Wednesday. And then, you know, I mean, he definitely stepped up in the absence of Cale Makar, right? He was one of the beneficiaries of that. And I think he's the odd man out of their remaining, of the defensemen now that Makar is back. He's the one who's getting his deployment sort of managed. He's getting lower ice time, right? And he's not getting any power play time. So, you know, just take the free games, because if you have him, like, you're holding him, right? I don't know, though, like, if you don't have him and he's on your waiver wire, I don't know that I'd pick him up for the Monday, Wednesday. I don't think I would do that. I think there are better guys out there. I would maybe go for, like, you know, Mike Matheson, who's like, he's something stupid, like 38% rostered or something. Like, go get Mike Matheson, you know, or Cam Fowler over, oh God. Yeah. Maybe Cam Fowler. Oh, God, that sounds terrible. Sorry, Mr. Girard. That's, but we're going with Old Faithful. All right. We know what he does, and we like it. All right. But yeah, I think if you're holding Girard, or if you had him last week, you're holding him. If not, I think, you know, I would probably look elsewhere. But nice season for him. And, well, they have an embarrassment of riches over there with their defensemen. I mean, these guys can all step up and do stuff, you know, and then they got the best defenseman in the league. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Girard is probably that guy where you hold him if you had him. You don't need to waste an ad to get him off your roster immediately. He's still going to be viable. But I don't know that I'm going out to acquire him. Yeah, I think I would take Cam Fowler over him for this week, especially if you can get all four games. I would take Sanderson over him if you can get all four games. But yeah, I wouldn't use the ad to go get Fowler right now.
Girard, you mean?
I wouldn't use the ad to go get Girard right now, just for that Monday, Wednesday. I think that's the take. I would keep an eye on it though. Colorado does have the best schedule for the rest of the playoffs. If your playoffs extend into week 25, then do keep an eye on that, and you might want to think about re-adding Girard if things start to turn his way once again. So do keep that in mind as well. All right. That's all we've got for this episode. Hopefully, it brought you some value, helped you get a little bit better at fantasy hockey today. All the advanced stats you heard today came from Natural Stat Trick, which is a terrific free resource, although sometimes it does go down in the middle of the show and we have to scramble for our
Never
stats that we're
happens.
trying to
Never
provide.
happens.
Never, except for today.
That's right.
Many thanks to the band there for supplying the music for the podcast. Be sure to check out their Spotify as well. That's it, folks. Much love.